Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Almighty God, you are worthy to be praised and be glorified. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, petition you once again for not only the presence of your Spirit, but what your Spirit can give unto us, which is light, understanding, knowledge that we so desperately need in order to understand the will of our Father, the will of Almighty God. Therefore, Lord, I pray that you would answer this petition, that everyone that seeketh your face, desire to know the truth of the subject that is at hand that we're discussing, with an honest heart, Father, I pray that you reveal unto them. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I am grateful today, Lord God, for this day you've made and created, this opportunity you have given me to present your word, to present the word of truth, to give unto the people what thus says the Lord, to let them know your will concerning this matter. So, Lord God, I give you glory and honor and praise, and I magnify you because you're worthy to be praised. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Praise be to God. God bless all of you on this blessed Thursday night. This is Brother Nate once again, another God's Word Man broadcast, and I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I want to welcome all of you from all parts of the world that are listening to this broadcast. Welcome to another God's Word Man broadcast. May God continue to bless you, your family, and your loved ones. In Jesus' name, amen. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, you can use this number for this broadcast here if you got any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson. Call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. And for those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN@gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Praise be to God. So now, if you have your Bibles with you, wherever you're listening to me at, I ask if you would get them out. And for those of you that's listening, and perhaps maybe you don't have a Bible with you, maybe you're listening in your car, just listen along with us, amen. We're going to go with our foundational scripture to our subject at hand, to the series, starting in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1. We're going to open up with our foundation scripture. We have already opened up with prayer, amen. Because when you're going into the Word of God and going to the Word of study of the Word, we want to always open up with prayer, petitioning God's Spirit to be with us as we make this journey. Amen? Amen. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1. And the Word of God said, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins." Now, we're on this series of abortion. Amen. And the Lord said here in Isaiah 58 and 1, as he is talking to, first of all, we know he was at that particular time talking to literal Israel, they that was literal of Israel, his people, of the Lord, his servants. And today we know spiritually speaking, he is speaking to the spiritual Israel today. Also in this word here, those that have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and being born again. However, we also want to acknowledge and recognize that when he said, "Cry aloud, spare not," to give even more specifics, he is speaking to those that hear. See, everyone that claims, once again, that they are a born-again believer is not hearing. They're not listening. But Jesus specifically in the New Testament, he said, "I speak to those that hear." And so those that hear this message, in his first verses, He said, cry loud and spare not. We have went on the body of Christ to a degree. We have looked at this scripture, and I think at one point we closed our eyes. Or we was looking in the Bible, and we got to this verse, we quickly turned the page, because it is sad to say today, many of us of the body of Christ, we have, instead of crying loud and spare not, we have shut up and been quiet. Okay? When we need to speak out against sin. You know, I look at this verse, and, you know, another thing that comes to me, you know, when you think about it, why does God say to show my people their transgression in the house of Jacob, their sins? Well, you know, some answer said, because he loved them. Well, that's true. But also in their love, we must understand that God does not want his people cursed. Because when we look in the Bible, when you look in Romans chapter 5, when you look in Deuteronomy chapter 28, sin, transgression, abomination brings curses with it. It does not bring a blessing, okay? Automatically, it brings curses. And God said, show my people their transgressions. Because God doesn't want man cursed, period. God is not, you know, just a happy camper for curses, per se. For example, in heaven, you don't read in scripture where in heaven that curses is ruled in a particular place in heaven. There's nothing but blessings and peace in heaven. There's no ruling of curses where it is sickness or disease or anything. It's not ruling in heaven. So God doesn't get a kick out of seeing man curse. He doesn't get a kick out of that. You know, it's just like as a Christian, we know that when people sin, that they're going to reap. And even if they've done something to you, and when you start getting a kick out of that, you know, that now they're cursed, you know, you might want to check yourself. I mean, real bad. Amen? And so we've been on this series of abortion. Amen? And I want to say once again to those of you that are newcomers to this series, whether you just tuning in for the first time to Blog Talk Radio, or whether you are a regular listener and maybe you haven't listened for a while and now you're coming in on the series, well, tonight we're on abortion part 8. And I want to say once again, as I have been saying throughout this series, if you come in the series like right now or to the end of the series, I want to always encourage you, just like tonight, when you listen to part 8, go back and listen to the first 7 parts. Because once again, when you come in the middle or the end of something, it's hard for you many times to grasp the overall understanding of the subject that's being discussed at hand. This is why I encourage all, for example, Sunday school, to be on time. You know, when you come to Sunday school and if it lasts an hour, and you get there 30 minutes late. You didn't lose out 30 minutes, okay? And so when you come and sit among the congregation, and they had chapter so-and-so, you sit around looking around at everybody like, okay, where y'all at, what you doing? So when somebody finally points out to you, say, hey, we're in chapter so-and-so, and you get there, and when whoever's doing the Sunday school is teaching, now what they're saying to you still is a mystery to you because you don't understand why they're saying what they're saying, okay? And so I say that to make this point as this. You know, when you're, for those of you that have been listening and following us on Blog Talk Radio, for example, you know me. Or I put it this way, you know, for those of you that have been listening, you know how I operate. Whenever I do a teaching on a series, it's on a series. It might be 4, 5 parts, 6 or 7 parts, okay? So I say that to say this once again. Because I want you to get it. Now, overall, I know that the overall understanding is going to have to come through the Holy Ghost. I understand that, you know, that goes without saying. But however, I know that for the position and the place that God has called me, I have to do the best I can on my behalf, you know, in working with the Spirit of God that you may get this understanding. I hope I made myself clear on that. Amen. So tonight we're on abortion part 8. And, you know, like I said, I encourage you to listen to the first 7 parts. And by now, those of you that have been constantly listening, you know the message I'm saying overall is that God is not for abortion. He's not for it, okay? Amen. And abortion is an abominable act. And once again, if you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, I want to throw that out at you. Read that 28th chapter, especially start from verse 15 to the end of the chapter, because it's like, what, 60 or 70 verses in that chapter. But when you get from, when you start at verse 15, the reason why I said that, because verse 1 to verse, I think, 14 is nothing but blessings. But notice that it's blessings on your obedience. But when he gets to, I think, verse 15 and on, he lets you know, say, hey, but if you would not hearken to keep my commandments, these curses, as he said, shall overtake you. And he gives a list. And remember, the curse of the law was threefold, is death, poverty, and sickness. So when you broke the command of God, when saying that, okay, this threefold of a curse will hit you. And the greatest of one was death, or spiritual death, then physical death, okay? Then you have sickness and you have poverty, okay? Amen. So, having said that, and this came based on your sin or your abominable acts or your iniquity that you've committed. When you read in Romans chapter 5, it talks about Adam, and when Adam sinned, said death came by sin, okay? So that sin opened the door for a curse, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, having said that, we are on abortion part 8 tonight. Amen. And what we're going to discuss tonight, there's another reason, and for those of you who've been listening, you know in part 1, I gave you like, I think it was like 10 or 11 reasons people have given to justify or to have an abortion. Amen. And one of them is that they said that it is legal. Okay? It is legal. And this is another reason people give for having abortion. They say, you know, it's legal. Well, we're going to start out tonight, and however the Spirit of the Lord lead, we're going to start out talking about, you know, when they say it is legal, where do they get this from? Because abortion is legalized here in this nation. I'm going to talk about how it came into being. So I want to read to you on research on how abortion came to become legalized here, especially here in the United States. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, before we get into that, you know, like I said, there are those that say, well, it is legal to have an abortion, okay? And so this is one of the reasons why they give for having it, okay? They say, well, we ain't breaking no law, okay? And it is, quote, legalized by law here, so, hey, I ain't got to worry about getting in trouble. But just because man passed a law does not mean it is God's law. Okay? I'm going to say that again. Just because man passes a law, that does not necessarily mean it is God's law. Okay? Now, I hear some of you out there say, well, you know what? The Lord said obey the laws of the land. Understand what you're saying. But there had a limitation to that. Let's understand that. Okay? It got a limitation to that. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 15. And we're going to look at verse 1. Because today, as I was thinking on this, and this scripture had come to me, because I was thinking about how that there are those who say, well, because it is legal, you know, that makes me okay to be able to have it. But once again, just because man passes a law does not mean that it is God's law. And just because man legalized something doesn't mean that God legalized it. See, if you don't view the law of God above any other law, then you're in trouble. I don't care. You know, you can claim to be a Christian for 30 or 40 years. If you don't see the law of God, see, when you became born again, you entered the kingdom of God, and so you are under also you are under overall the law of God. And so if you don't see the law of God above the law of man, then you're in trouble. Okay? Amen. Now, once again, I hear the echoes of some of you back there say, well, you know, the Lord said obey the laws of the land. Gotcha. I understand what you're saying, but that had a limitation. We must understand that. Now, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 1, it said, Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Okay? But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? For God commanded, saying, unto thy father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die to death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Now, some of you say, well, okay, why you went that route? I mean, what that got to do with what you're saying? Well, this is why the scripture came to me. Now, once again, you know, I hear some of you echo in the background. You say, but the Lord said obey the law of the land. If it's the law, we are to obey it, okay? As I told you, yes, he said it, but okay, it has limitations. Let's get that straight. Well, you said, well, what's a limitation dealing with? Well, notice what Jesus said here to the scribes and the Pharisees. Their question is why, they had Jesus said, why your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, okay? And Jesus come back at them and said, well, why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Okay? Amen. And then he goes on to say that by their tradition, they have made the word of God of none effect. So some of you still say, well, brother, what this guy? In other words, when you talk about we're supposed to obey the laws of the land, and as I told you, that's a limitation. And you said the limitation is this. If that law passed causes the word of God to be a none effect in your life, don't follow it. In other words, for example, same-sex marriages. Now, the word of God, which is also God's law, say it is abomination. Okay? Now, here in the United States, you know what happened a few years ago. They passed and legalized that same-sex couples can get married. Okay, if that's the law of the land, per se, do you honor it? No. Why? Because, remember, the law of the word of God said it's an abomination. God, you don't find nowhere in the scripture where God told you to honor sin or to honor abomination or to honor iniquity. He doesn't tell you that. So this scripture came to me because, you know, men have traditions, different customs and practices that they do, and custom and practices even in laws that they legalize. But when it contradicts the law of God, you don't have to honor that. Amen. You don't have to honor that. See, this is why some Christians got in, quote, hot water today, because some of them had business where you had same-sex couples coming there and said, we want you to make a case for us for me and my partner getting married. And they told us, hey, that's against my belief in Christ. I'm not going to honor about same-sex marriages. And then you got a big hoopla, and now they want to sue. The people want to sue them and come against them and all that. See, we got to understand it. Now, if you go out there and the law says drive 70, you speed and break the law, that's different, okay? But when the laws contradict the word of God and making it of none effect in your life, don't honor that. Amen. Don't honor that. So I wanted to come with that as we go into how this legalization of abortion came to be, okay, especially here in the United States. And, you know, many of you may heard, you hear the year 1973. But see, that's the year of where you hear about the most common thing, Roe versus Wade. Now, this is what I want to go into right now, this research to give you on this article, the history of how abortion became legalized here. And it was through at a particular thing or event that happened that caused it to be legalized. So I ask that you would give me your undivided attention. Some of you already know this. Some of you may not. You know, I got to be honest. At one time, I had kind of heard about it, but I didn't know the in-depth things about it, you know. But thank God for studying and for research. Now, in 1969, Norma McCarvey, okay, Norma McCarvey, excuse me. Now, you say, who is Norma McCarvey? Norma McCarvey, when you hear the Roe versus Wade, she's supposed to be Roe, but her real name is Norma McCarvey, okay? So, in 1969, Norma McCarvey, a Texas woman in her early 20s, she sought to terminate an unwanted pregnancy. McCarvey had grown up in a difficult, impoverished circumstance. She had previously given birth twice and given up both children for adoption. So she was pregnant at that time with her third child. And so her first two children, she gave them up for adoption. Now she's seeking aborted to get this third one aborted. Okay, so in 1969, abortion was legal in Texas, but only for the purpose of saving a woman's life. After trying unsuccessfully to get an illegal abortion, because before abortion was legalized, there was some illegal abortion being done, and there's some illegal being done today, but anyhow, per se. Okay, now, after trying unsuccessfully to get an illegal abortion, McCarvey was referred to Texas attorneys Linda Coffey and Sarah Weddington. These two were interested in challenging anti-abortion laws, okay? These two lawyers, she referred to these two lawyers who became interested in challenging these anti-abortion laws, okay? Now, it said in court documents, McCarvey became known as Jane Roe. So that's why when you hear the title Roe versus Wade, they're talking about McCarvey, but, you know, she became as Jane Roe. Her real name, once again, is Norma McCarvey. Now, in 1970, the attorneys filed a lawsuit on behalf of McCarvey and all the other women who were or might become pregnant and want to consider all options against Henry Wade. Now, you say, well, who is Henry Wade? Henry Wade was the district attorney of Dallas County where McCarvey lived. Okay? So Henry Wade is standing up. He's the district attorney at that time of Dallas County, once again where McCarvey lived. And so now these lawyers begin to file a lawsuit on behalf of McCarvey and all the women against Henry Wade, who is once again the district attorney of Dallas County. Wade was the same attorney in 1964 who prosecuted Jack Ruby, who killed Lee Harvey Oswald, the assassin of President John F. Kennedy. Okay, so in June 1970, a Texas district court ruled that the state's abortion ban was illegal because it violated constitutional rights to privacy. Okay, afterward, get this. Wade declared that he would continue to prosecute doctors who perform abortions. The case was appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. Meanwhile, McCarvey gave birth and put the child up for adoption. Okay? So even though this is her third child at that time, she already had two and gave him up for adoption. Now, this third child, she's trying to get an abortion. She still ended up having a child and giving the child up for adoption, okay? So on January the 22nd, 1973, the Supreme Court in a 7-2 decision struck down the Texas law banning abortion, effectively legalizing the procedure nationwide. Wow. Through this event right there, abortion became legalized nationwide. The court declared that a woman's right to an abortion was implicit in the right to privacy protected by the 14th Amendment. The court divided pregnancy into three trimesters and declared that the choice to end a pregnancy in the first trimester was solely up to the woman. In the second, the government could regulate, although not ban it, in order to protect the mother's health. In the third, the state can prohibit it to protect a fetus that could survive on its own outside the womb, except when a mother's health is in danger. Wow. 1973. Hallelujah. It became legalized through that event. Okay. Now, when we get ready to end this series, which it might be, I don't know, maybe one or two parts left, I talked to you about this Jane Roe or Norma McCorvey, but there's another side to this story that I'm going to tell you that you don't hear people talk about. See, when you hear Roe versus Wade, Roe versus Wade, and you hear about this event that I just read to you, this is how abortion became legalized nationwide. But however, the same ones who keep throwing it up there, they don't tell you the other side of what happened. Well, before this series is out, we're going to talk about that. Amen? Praise be to God. Glory to God. So that's how abortion became legalized here in the U.S. and nationwide. Because this woman, once again said to be in her early 20s, she's now pregnant with a third child. First two, she've already given up in adoption. Okay? Amen. And this third one, she wants to abort it. Okay? Now, from what I understand from the research, I didn't read nothing about she wanted to abort the first two. She gave them up for adoption. But this third one, she wanted to abort it. But she still ended up having a child and giving up for adoption anyhow. Okay? Glory to God. Hallelujah. But when we talk about the other side of that story that you don't hear, that they won't talk to you about, because they keep throwing, oh, Roe versus Wade, Roe versus Wade, keep throwing it up because they say, okay, that's they throw it up to say, hey, abortion was legalized, okay? But they don't tell you the other side of the story. Now, another thing about abortion that we need to understand also, and some of you who was listening the other night when my sister Anderson came on, and Sister Anderson made this comment where she said some even use abortion for other evil means, and she was right, and I said well, we're going to get into that, and we're going to talk about that, okay? And I'm going to go into that right now and give you some research on that, because there's another woman, and this is not picking on women, like, don't get me wrong, but there's another woman that many women speak highly on, okay? But she's another that was in favor of abortion, but she had another evil means up her sleeve for that. Hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost will tell you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I want to give you her name and give you a little history about her to let you know what other evil means she wanted in using abortion. Okay? Now, her name is Margaret Sanger. Sanger, S-A-N-G-E-R, Margaret Sanger. And I want to give you a little research concerning her, so you may understand why I'm telling you, say, okay, this woman has some evil intentions in the use of abortion, you know, and people want to use abortion. So they, you know, it's one of those, maybe though one of those reasons out of the 11 I gave you, that it's one of those reasons I didn't, you know, mention on that part. It could have been reason number 12. I put it that way. Now, Margaret Sanger, okay? Margaret Sanger and this other lady, Fania, F-A-N-I-A, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that, Fania Mendel and Ethel Brin has started what is called Planned Parenthood. Now, y'all know what Planned Parenthood is. It's supposed to be a nonprofit organization that provides reproductive health care in the United States and globally. It is a tax-exempt corporation on the Internal Revenue Section 501c34. It's a member association of what is called the International Planned Parenthood Federation. The Planned Parenthood Federation of America has its roots in Brooklyn, New York, where this Margaret Sanger opened the first birth control clinic in the United States in 1916. Sanger founded the American Birth Control League in 1921, which changed its name to Planned Parenthood in 1942. The Birth Control League was an organization that promoted the founding of birth control clinics and encouraged women to control their own fertility. Planned Parenthood is supposed to provide a variety of reproductive health services, sexual education, instructions relating to human sexuality, including emotional relations and responsibilities, human sexual anatomy, sexual reproduction, age of consent, reproductive health, reproductive rights, safe sex, birth control, and sexual abstinence. Okay. Now, the PPFA is the largest single provider of reproductive health services, including abortions in the U.S., and so is Planned Parenthood is behind the abortion. In their 2014 annual report, PPFA reported seeing over 2.5 million patients and over 4 million clinical visits and performing nearly 9.5 million discrete services, including 324,000 abortions. Its combined annual revenue is $1.3 billion U.S. dollars, including $530 million in government funding, such as Medicaid reimbursements. See, some quote, money in that thing, as they say, in the birth control, okay? Do we understand that? So this Margaret Sanger, she started, as she said, she founded the first birth control clinic. Now, some of the women say, oh, okay, hey, she did it. But once again, you don't know her agenda. And I'm finna read to you about her agenda because they talk, you know, it's been talked about, and I'm going to read this research to you, that Margaret Sanger was a racist and she believed in something that is called eugenics. Okay? Now, I want to read to you about that. Now, Margaret Sanger, in believing in this eugenics. And see, she was looking at, too, the abortion also being the way to help in this eugenics thing. Now, let me read to you. Now, it says, Sanger's eugenics creed is clearly stated in her speech, My Way to Peace, in 1932. The centerpiece of the program is a vigorous state used on compulsory sterilization and segregation. Get this, the first class of persons targeted for sterilization made up of people with mental or physical disability. The first step will be to control the intake and output on morons, mental defectives, and epileptics. A much larger class of undesirables. Now, see, this is what she thought about people, you know, what she called morons and people that had mental defects and epileptics, and she called others what a much larger class of undesirables will be forced to choose either sterilization or placement in state work camps. The second step would be to take an inventory of the second group, such as illiterates, paupers, unemployable, criminals, prostitutes, dope fiends, classify them as special departments under government medical protection, and segregate them on farms and open spaces. Those segregated in these camps could return to mainstream society if they underwent sterilization and demonstrated good behavior. Sanger estimated that 15 to 20 million Americans would be targeted in the regime of forced sterilization and concentration camps. In Sanger, the humanitarian dream of a world without poverty and illness has deteriorated into a coercive world where the poor, the disabled, and addicted simply disappear. They tell you what she thought of people with mental defects. In other words, they heard in her eyes a view of a perfect world. And so she was for this eugenics thing, you know, where you put what you call people that are supposed to be dope fiends and illiterates and people she called morons and mental defectors and put them in certain places to sterilize them. They hurt the world. Now, Sanger shaped the eugenics movement in America and beyond in the 1930s and 1940s. Her views and those of her peers in the movement contribute to compulsory sterilization laws in 30 states that resulted in more than 60,000 sterilizations of vulnerable people, including people she considered feeble-minded, idiots, or morons. She even presented at a Ku Klux Klan rally in 1926 in Silver Lake, New Jersey. She recounted this event in her autobiography. She says, "I accepted an invitation to talk to the women's branch of the Ku Klux Klan. I saw through the door dim figures parading with banners and illuminated crosses. I was escorted to the platform, was introduced, and began to speak. In the end, through simple illustrations, I believe I had accomplished my purpose. A dozen invitations to speak to similar groups were pro-offered." And it said Margaret Sanger in her autobiography, page 366. Now, in a letter that she wrote to Clarence Gable in 1939, Sanger wrote, "We do not want word to get out that we want to exterminate the Negro population, and the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members." This is Margaret Sanger commenting on the Negro Project in a letter to Gamble, December 10, 1939. "By all means, there should be no, get this, she got, there should be no children when either mother or father suffer from such diseases as tuberculosis, gonorrhea, syphilis, cancer, epilepsy, insanity, drunkenness, mental disorders. In the case of the mother, heart disease, kidney trouble, and pelvic deformities are also a serious bar to childbearing." Wow. "No more children should be born when the parents, though healthy themselves, find that their children are physically and mentally defective." This is her views. Women in the New Race in 1920, chapter 7. That's her views. In other words, you know, anybody that's, you know, according to her, have a mental disorder or insanity or drunkenness, hey, no children should survive. So you can see why she was also for the abortion. So if they were to be pregnant or something, hey, abort the child. Because, see, they disturb what she calls a perfect or peaceful world or a perfect world. So she said the world would be better if you had no people that had mental disorders and all that in the world. So she's talking about putting them in camps and putting the dope fiends in the camps and all that. That's her belief on this eugenics. And notice the Negro population. That's another reason why she was for the abortion. Because I read to you her words about the Negro population. She said, "We don't want it to get out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, that's our thing. He said, you know, if you got people with disabilities and diseases and sickness and all that, you know, hey, no children. They shouldn't have no children, okay? So just guess what? Well, if they get pregnant, what you think she was going for? They aborted. Have that child aborted. We don't want that child, according to her, to come into this world because they're going to be the child of someone that got a disease. Glory. Now, who gave her the right to pass that kind of judgment? But see, that's what she wanted to, that's why she also for that abortion. So she was racist and a eugenicist, okay? Amen. She wanted that abortion to exterminate the Negro population. Amen. Color people, you need to hear this, okay? A lot of them in an abortion is pushing you, say, oh, well, you know, you have a right to do, just get, yeah, because part of them, you got many out there that uses abortion to exterminate the color. They want to exterminate the color race. Let's get straight to the point on this, people. And this Margaret Sanger was for it. You got a lot of women, oh, Margaret Sanger, all right. Okay. She was for eugenicists, okay, and she was a racist, point blank. Wanted this abortion to be done to exterminate the Negroes. And then anybody else she calls a moron or whatever, she want them exterminated. And I guess if she called them a moron and they want to have children, nope, don't have no children. They got a mental defect, no children. Amen. Hallelujah. This woman has been praised by many. Amen. Hold up, Ashata. Glory. And people tell, oh, she started the first birth control clinic. And many of the women just clap, clap, clapping. But do you know the history behind her? What her beliefs? In other words, she thought you was a moron or an idiot. She thought that you should be put in some kind of camp and sterilized and all that or put away. Then if you show, quote, good behavior, you can come out. Come on, people. Come on. See, I told you with this abortion, others has hidden agendas under that. They use this abortion to get rid of people or to try to keep other people from coming into the world. If they consider you a nobody, once again, with her thinking, a moron, an idiot, or you got some kind of epilepsy or some kind of sickness or something, she say, no way. And so if the woman come up pregnant, oh, we got to get rid of that child. Okay, let that child come into the world. It make the world worse. You know, the Bible talks about the love of God, and it says love thinketh no evil. Well, guess what? She wasn't operating in the love of God. Hallelujah. So love thinketh no evil. Love don't sit up there and plan to do evil to others. Using abortion to want to exterminate a certain race, or using abortion to exterminate people who you call idiots and all that. My God, honorable Shatta, glory. I sense the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, sister, I thank God for His Spirit. Amen. Amen. That's why we have to do our due diligence in research, okay? And so you have to watch many times who men are praising. And I'm not saying everybody's out there got some evil, bad intentions, no matter what color they are, but you got to watch many times who and what men are constantly praising. Because if you just get into the attitude and say, well, they pray, hey, they must be something, and you start getting into it, you'll be praising something that's not a God. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. So when Sanger, hey, Sanger, think about a world without poverty and illness. Let's get rid of the people that have it, and then let's make sure they don't have no children. That's her thing. That's her thing. That's what she look at. So if that one that's in poverty is pregnant, you got to abort that child. We don't want nobody in poverty having children. We don't want nobody with no illness having children. Amen. That's her thinking. That was her thinking. Okay? See, that should have been reason number 12 on that list. I gave you 11 reasons. That should have been number 12, so I'm letting you see number 12 right there coming through her. But see, many people, they just use that, went out to use that abortion that way also. It's already a vulnerable act. Many of them wanted to use it to exterminate, quote, particular people. Amen. You know, I gave y'all one of the parts as the figures to how many colored babies have been exterminated, have been abortions rather. And I think up to that date that I got on last Thanksgiving, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was over 18 million. That's a lot of babies, colored babies. Hey. Amen. So, colored lady, colored guy, you need to hear this. Of course, many of these abortion places are going to push, well, you know, you got a right to do whatever you want, and I feel like you should. And if you can't take care of, you know, you may be better off doing that. Oh, you better watch that. Better watch that. And they gave a report. They gave that statistic to you, I think, well, it was from the CDC or someone that talks about how high the percentage was of abortion among, I think it was black unmarried women. That percentage was in the 90-somethings percent. It's, I mean, up there high at one time, okay? Time over our eyes, people. Glory. Hallelujah. Halabashata. Thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the word of truth. Amen. Glory be to God. He is worthy to be praised and be glorified. Thank you, Jesus. And so, tonight, that's what I wanted to go into that part and way things look. We may have one part left, maybe part 9. Lord say the same, it'll be Sunday night. And that may be the last part of this series. But I pray that through these first 8 parts that I have given unto you, that you get a full understanding why it's not the will of God for you to have abortion. Like I said, if you don't want the child, there's always adoption. Listen, there's families out there that are facing barrenness. You know, with some, the women is barren. Some, they say it'd be something wrong, you know, with the man. I don't know, his sperm count or something like that. And would love to raise a child. Okay, and if you're like, well, I don't want a child, I can't afford it, blah, 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 it's a life. Put the life up for adoption. Let someone else who really eager and wants to do it, okay? Praise be to God. But if you're one of those that had done it, you know, had an abortion, 2 or 3, let me tell you something. Right now, God wants you to know it's not too late for you to repent of what you've done. And you know what? The Lord will forgive you. Oh, he'll wipe that sin. Oh, my God, he'll wipe it away as if you hadn't done it. See, some of you, you went through a time, you wouldn't talk about it, you had told other people, I'm fine, but you now the guilt, and you can tell that you made a mistake. And you're trying other methods to try to, quote, pack that guilt down so you want to feel it. Some of you have resorted to drinking. Some of you have resorted to doing other stuff and trying to do whatever you can do to get your mind off of it, but it just ain't working. God said, if you just repent and confess that sin, God said, I'll remove that thing. Hallelujah. I bring you the peace that you need. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for the power of the Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of thy precious Son, Jesus Christ, who is Lord, and none is greater. You say you are the true and living God, and besides you there is no other. Therefore, Lord, we believe. We take hold of that word. We believe right now in the name of Jesus. And so, Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for, Lord, just giving us your word and blessing us with your word. And, Father, I thank you for everyone that listened tonight. I thank you for the presence of your spirit in the devotion, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord God, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise, and we magnify you because you're worthy to be praised. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Praise be to God. Glory to the Most High God. Thank God for all you've been listening. The Lord said the same. Don't forget tomorrow night. It's heart to heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. The Lord said the same. 7 o'clock p.m. as well as Saturday night, 7 o'clock p.m. Look for the advertising. And once again, I am grateful to the Lord Jesus Christ for all you've been listening. Once again, if the Lord say the same, we will have the ninth and final part. It should be Sunday night. So look for the advertisement to abortion part 9. So once again, I thank God for all you've been listening. Your brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
Behold.